What do you hope your kids say about you during this time in 10 to 15 years?
So, I mean, it was really interesting back in March and April. I think they just realized, like, how close we had gotten. Obviously, just busy schedules running all over the place. Like, we were all actually home. We were all actually able to do things together. So I really hope they look back on it and just realize that, wow, when life slowed down because we were forced to, it was really nice. Like, they walk in like, Daddy, you just like have meetings on your computer for work? Is that what you do for a job? I mean, before that, they would have never realized what I do. But just that they started picking up on more things and wherever, you know, whatever points they're at, still in school, out of school, just realizing it's okay to slow down. We don't need a pandemic to make it happen. Like, just slow down and enjoy yourself and the people around you.
Mm. And Eugene, same question.
Be there for each other, care for one another. And we've tried to instill that into them their whole lives. But I think the family time has been good. They've always loved mom more. So I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's fine. I would love her more too. But now when I have to go do something, it's, oh, you're leaving. Or when I come back, oh, hey, dad's home. And it's kind of nice to get that feeling like they care a little more about dad than they used to. But it makes me realize too that I've become closer to them as well. And it's sad that it took a pandemic, I guess, to cause that. But it was good to slow down.
Absolutely incredible. I cannot thank you guys, all of you, for being here today and sharing your heartfelt stories and experiences. I want to thank Stefan Colmar, Eugene Woodell, Kathy Duenas, and Phil Belongi, who are parents at the Racine Unified School District and share the experiences of their families and their children and themselves as they go through this pandemic. Thank you all for being here. Until next time, bye everybody.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.
Good morning. This is Lenny Quinta for Community Matters, and our topic today is about a terrific community and alumni event that UW Parkside's College of Natural and Health Sciences will be having 1 week from today. And everyone in our listening area can log in and participate and listen to some amazing things that are going to be discussed in the realm of science within the purview of the curriculum of the Natural and Health Sciences College at UW Parkside. This is a wonderful community opportunity to really be up to date on important issues that are facing our listening area. And with me to begin this morning is the Dean of UW Parkside's College of Natural and Health Sciences, Dean Emmanuel Otu. Good morning, Dean Otu.
Good morning, Len, and thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. This is a wonderful opportunity for all of our listeners to really learn a lot. But before I go into all of the details of the program you're going to have next Saturday afternoon from 2 until 5:30, let me just ask you a couple questions about how the College of Natural and Health Sciences is operating during COVID-19. You teach science, you teach health, you teach recreation and physical therapy. These are all very hands-on disciplines as we normally think of them. So tell us how it's working out there for your faculty and students right now at the college, Dean Otu.
When the COVID hit us in mid spring semester 2020, we reacted very quickly by taking all the classes, you know, online. Within 2 weeks, fortunately for us, it was just about spring break. So what we did was to extend the spring break by another week to give faculty and instructional academic staff the opportunity to switch their classes to online. So for that particular half or remaining half of the spring semester 2020, we went 100% online. And because this virus was still raging around the summer, we also went 100% online. But in the fall semester, which we are in right now, in the college, we have about one third of our classes are face-to-face, which allows the students to still acquire those online hands-on skills that will be required for them in the sciences, like you mentioned, in physical therapy, in biology, in chemistry, and other programs that require online. The classrooms are equipped with sanitizing solutions with masks. So students are, the health of students and faculty were paramount in the things that we put together to allow us to offer that one third of our class in a face-to-face or hybrid mode.
So you're using technology and new kinds of software to teach in some of these classes that really didn't even exist until a few years ago, aren't you?
Yeah, you're correct. Quickly over the summer, just before the fall semester started, we fitted about 26 classrooms with live streaming. So in some cases, half of the class may be with the professor in the classroom face-to-face, and the other half will be receiving the same lecture at the same time through live streaming. And then next week or the next day, the attendance face-to-face switches, so students are always involved in some kind of interaction directly within any given week with the professor that's teaching the class.
Well, that's terrific. I wonder how your enrollment has fared this year, Dean O'Toole, in the College of Natural and Health Sciences.
Our incoming students this year were 10% higher compared to fall of 2019. And our retention has held up also. At this time, we are still, higher. The enrollment is still higher than they were same time last year.
Well, congratulations. That's terrific. Now, your college at Parkside of Natural and Health Sciences has a lot of disciplines in it. I wonder if you would just mention what the disciplines are that are included within that general title.
Those will include Applied Health Sciences, which has a conglomeration of concentrations that lead to students who want to go to a physician assistant program. We have the medical lab sciences within Applied Health Sciences. We have public health. We have chiropractor practic. We have physical therapy. So students can take all those concentrations within the Applied Health Sciences and proceed to professional programs. Then we have biology. We have chemistry, environmental studies, mathematics, physics, exercise science, sport management, the nursing program. We have the pre-engineering program, which is a partnership with the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So the students take 2 years of their engineering program at Parkside and they transfer seamlessly to UW-Milwaukee. While they are at Parkside for the pre-engineering program, the student, the advisor from UW-Milwaukee visits the campus twice every semester to work with the students and prepare them in the eventuality of their transfer to UW-Milwaukee. So when they get there, they know someone already that they have been working with for the past 2 years in that process. We also do, we have sport management, as I said, and we also do have master's degree programs in the areas of clinical mental health psychology. We started that about 2 years ago. So our first graduates are going to be this December 2020, because it's a 2.5 year program. And that program leads to licensure with the state of Wisconsin for the licensed professional counselor, LPC. We have master's degree in sustainable management, applied biotechnology, health and wellness management, healthcare administration.
That's quite a suite of programs, and it strikes me that really in any area, there is lots of employment opportunities, and in this great metropolitan area of the Chicago-Milwaukee megapolis, there's limitless opportunities for employment for your graduates and alumni of these programs, isn't there?
You're correct.
Now, let's turn a little bit to the for the rest of the program to your 6th annual alumni and community event. And this is an event that I've been associated with. I have full disclosure, I'm on Dean O2's community advisory committee. And the purpose of this is really to connect with alumni and the community and provide access to on the campus to faculty who are doing and students who are doing some remarkable and interesting research. This year, because of the COVID-19, you've taken the event virtual, which I commend you for. I think that was a very smart decision. And you're letting the general public eavesdrop on these sessions, which I think is terrific. I wonder if you would take us through the sessions that are going to be offered. You have multiple sessions that's going to be covering the afternoon from 2 until 5:30 next week, Saturday. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the topics that are going to be covered, Dean O2, and also to begin with, how would a member of the community who isn't on your mailing list get access to register for these programs?
Thank you, Len. It's my pleasure to walk through that and also give the community member who is not on the mailing list the opportunity to be part of it. And I'll particularly thank you, Len, for being a member of the advisory board for the college. And it was actually through the advisory board encouragement that we decided to go virtual for this particular event. And we did so to try again to continue to, you know, maintain people's health and keep everybody safe. The event, as you said, is going to be next Saturday, October 24th, and it will run from 2 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. So we have a lot of speakers who are going to be involved in the three and a half hour, you know, time period. We have breakout sessions that any member of the community can participate. To participate in the program, you go to the UW Parkside webpage, navigate to the College of Natural and Health Sciences, and then you click on events, and you will see the 6th event. And when you click on that, there will be a link leading you to register. The breakout sessions that we have planned during the day include things that are relevant to what's happening right now. So in one session, we are going to be talking about environmental threat, the next environmental threat, which is what we call the forever chemicals. Right now, silently, the material called polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS, you know, for short, is being used in a lot of materials, just like other chemicals were used in other materials, and then later on they were found to have some kind of injury to the environment or even to human health. So we have the Vice President of Operations, North Shore Environmental Construction, going to be talking for that particular session. So I will encourage people to, you know, tune in. Our session number two, we have a panel that's going to be talking about racial equity and environmental justice in Racine, you know, County. Again, so that's, I think we have a panelist of about 5 people going to be talking about that particular session. And there is another session that is going to be talking about exercise science professions in the era of COVID. As everybody knows, the gyms closed down. People had no place to work out. So what were the implications, you know, for people? That's another session we're going to talk about. And in session 4, we're going to be talking about COVID pandemic from the front lines. What are the, were the experiences of the nurses and the doctors and the medical personnel that were attending to people who contracted COVID? There are six people, all of them alumni of UW Parkside, who are doctors and nurses that are going to be tackling that particular, you know, session. And we have session number 5, which is going to be looking at social stigma and mental well-being in the face of a pandemic. This particular session is going to be presented by our clinical mental health, you know, counseling program with the psychology department. And again, all the speakers on that particular panel are alumni. And then we have the last panel session, which is session number 6, which is looking at how COVID has affected sports. So that particular session is going to run, you know, all day from 2:30 to 5:30. Other sessions will run from 2:30 to 3:30, and then we will rejoin the larger group where we have invited a speaker to be our plenary speaker on climate change. And Janet McCabe, who is currently the Indiana University Environmental Resilience Institute Director and a professor of practice at the IU Robert H. McKinney School of Law at IUPUI, will be guiding us through her experiences at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in terms of policy. She's a lawyer, and she's also an educator, so she's going to wrap up the two aspects of society and policy as it affects climate change. So I will encourage the community who are not receiving our mailing to either just ping us and then we will add them to our mailing, or they can go to uwp.edu/CNHS, which is College of Natural and Health Sciences, and then they navigate to the events link, and they can register from that.
That's terrific. Dean O'Toole, will Janet McCabe be speaking right at 2 o'clock?
Janet McCabe will be speaking at 3:30.
And I believe the chancellor is also going to make some remarks during the afternoon, too, Chancellor Deborah
yes.
Ford.
Yeah, Chancellor Ford is going to be making a remark right around 4:45.
Now tell us, what is your research interest? All the faculty and deans have research interests too. You just don't sit around just shuffling paperwork. Why don't you share with our listeners what your research interest is, Dean O'Toole?
Although I'm not very active in research, you know, right now at UW Parkside, but my research interest when I was active as a faculty member was in the area of what we call hydrometallurgy, which is extracting, you know, metal components using the liquid rather than smithing. Okay. So we are used to getting steel by burning, you know, large ores. And that, you know, it requires a lot of energy because you have to heat the steel to much higher temperatures to be able to melt the iron and then let it flow out because it has a different density with other types of material that may be there. But my research aspect was, how can we, instead of using heat to extract metallic components from the earth, could we use the liquid form by still digging up the whole earth and using some soluble solutions that have acids or bases in leaching that out? So we leach those things out from the soil and then we recover that through an electrolytic process. So you set up an electrolytic process that will then take the iron from the solution and, you know, deposit it on one electrode. And from there, you can scrape it out and then do the molding on whatever you need to do. So that's the aspect of hydrometallurgy. And my other aspect of research was in wastewater management.
I wonder if you would comment for just a moment about the forever chemicals idea. Can you explain to our listeners what we mean when we say forever chemicals? Do you really mean that these are chemicals that don't ever break down in the environment, Dean Otto?
They would take a long time to break down, just like if somebody had to reference the polychlorobiphenols, the PCBs. Those took a long time, and there's still a whole chunk of it still sitting on Hudson River where they were, you know, dumped. And it's taken a long time for the bacteria to get acclimatized to these and use them as food source. So these particular chemicals that are being used right now that are classified as the PFAS or PFOS chemicals are going to take the same length of time or maybe longer to be able to break down in the environment.
So this is a serious public health issue then, or it could be. How significant a problem is this currently, or is this more of a future-oriented thing of warding off a future problem, Dean Otto?
It's right here with us right now because we are using the PAFs in so many applications. I will, for example, you know, look at some of the, you know, coatings that we have in materials. They are included in them. So there is some health effects and there are some environmental effects that are going to happen by the use of these particular, you know, chemicals in the environment. Just like we had the PCBs and herbicides and pesticides that are still with us, even when those have been, you know, banned many years ago.
We're going to talk now with some other representatives of the college about other parts of the program. But before I let you go, Dean Otto, what's your plan for the spring semester for conducting classes and teaching? I know you don't have a crystal ball there, but you've got to make a decision now as to what you're planning to do. So what's your plan?
We have already made the decision to stay the same way we are in the fall. As you know, in Wisconsin, we are still having the virus much with us. So our spring 2021 semester will be mirroring what we are doing for fall of 2020, because we have found that doing what we are doing, it's not leading to exposure of students to the COVID virus within the campus.
Thank you, Dean Otto.
You're welcome.
And now we're talking with Laura Schultz. She's going to be moderating the Racial Equity and Environmental Justice session of the College of Natural and Health Sciences at Parkside's Special Alumni and General Public Day a week from today. Laura Schultz is an environmental education manager at UW Parkside and is a member of the instructional staff. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
Laura, tell us about this racial equity and environmental justice session that you're going to be doing as a part of the alumni and public day next Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. So this is a group out of the city of Racine. The group is called Racine for Racial Equity and Environmental Justice. And it was a grant program for the summer where most of them were current students or just recently graduated students to work on addressing some environmental justice issues within the city of Racine. So environmental justice is all about how people of color and people living in poverty deal with more of the environmental burdens than other folks, such as living near contaminated waste sites or dealing with more air pollution. So these fellows worked with, her name is Kara Pratt. She's the city of Racine sustainability manager. And they developed a few surveys that they did throughout the summer where they were asking individuals to chime in on how they viewed environmental justice, what issues they saw in the Racine community. They also had a few Q&A sessions so that they held on Facebook Live where people were able to come in and ask questions about environmental justice and these fellows addressed them. I got connected with them because I teach an environmental justice course at Parkside. And I'm through mutual friends, met, and so we were talking about the work they're doing, and they're going to come talk to my class And when we were organizing the community event, we thought this would be a really great opportunity for them to showcase some of the findings of their survey that they developed this summer. So this was a summer program. So one of the students, Allison, she's a Parkside student. She's not within our college, but we'll still take her because she's pretty great. Cool. I haven't heard the presentation yet myself, so I'm looking forward to hearing the findings that they found as well.
We all are. Now, you know, we don't think about environmental justice a lot. It's not a top of the mind thing here in the Kenosha, Racine, Walworth area. The talk about dumps and waste dumps has subsided over the years. We don't hear that's not in the front page of the newspapers any longer. We think about our pollution as being more somebody else's problem that floats into us. Can you give us some examples of what we're talking about when we talk about this kind of racial equity, environmental justice, so that our listeners can maybe get a better handle on what they're going to be hearing about next Saturday?
Sure. A good example that's very local in the city of Racine, Kenosha, and in Milwaukee as well, is the lead pipe crisis and lead in our drinking water. So the older pipes, so this is the pipe that not necessarily runs down your street, but connects from the street to your home, has lead, is made out of lead and is leaching into drinking water. And many of the homes that have this problem are also older homes where people of color and people of living in poverty in these areas tend to be living. And so addressing those issues has really come to the forefront, particularly with the Flint, Michigan water crisis a few years ago. So that's one that we talk about quite a bit, and I'm sure that'll be in their presentation. Another big issue in our area in particular is food deserts. And so this is areas where people don't have access to good, healthy, quality food. And in the city of Racine and in the city of Kenosha, there are several areas where folks don't have access to fresh vegetables, milk, those type of products, where it's very more of a mom and pop type shops where you buy alcohol and snacks and those type of things. So food deserts, I'm sure, will be another issue that they'll talk about during their presentation.
Yes, we have a big problem with that in the Uptown neighborhood now in Kenosha as a result of the civil unrest, and the mayor and the county executive are working on the problem, and it's one of those problems that seems to ebb and flow. We thought we had it solved a few years ago, and then suddenly everything went bad. The pick and save in the Brass Uptown site closed for lack of enough business, they said. And then we had the fires in the Uptown district, and what little was left there has pretty much disappeared, except for, as you say, like gas station type food, which is hardly what you could build a nutritious life around for yourself or for your children. Are there other issues that are of interest that we should be keeping our ears up for?
Well, I think currently with the pandemic, we're seeing, and not just in Racine and Kenosha, but throughout the United States, that's the pandemic is hitting people of color, that coronavirus is impacting them more than others. For a variety of reasons, a lot has to do with access to quality health care, underlying preconditions, access to good quality food. I'm not sure if they're going to cover that in their presentation or not, because it was still, you know, developing when they were doing the survey. But I'm sure they might touch on that in their presentation as well. Air quality is a big problem as well. When you look at groups of individuals who deal with asthma more than others and where they're located, and the air pollution is having an impact on that. Where we see, maybe not so much in Racine and Kenosha, but worldwide, we do see that where we place our landfills and our generally in communities of people of color in poverty as well. So I'm intrigued to see what their presentation is going to cover, quite a bit of what community members in Racine see as problems within their community in regards to environmental justice. So I'm intrigued to see if they bring up points that maybe I'm not aware of myself either during their presentation.
All right. Is there anything else you want to alert people to for next Saturday, Laura?
Yes, I should say in our session, we also have, before the Racine for Racial Equity and Environmental Justice Group speaks, we have a session by Ben Siren, who is a former UW Parkside student. He's going to talk about his work on the Kenosha Dunes. He's been monitoring when he just graduated in the spring. And when he was here as a student, he was working with a geoscience professor, John Skelbuck, and then some professors out of UW-Madison, that they were monitoring the erosion occurring on the Kenosha Dunes, which if you've been out to the Kenosha Dunes lately, the path has literally been eaten by the river or by the lake.
I used to walk that with my dad when I was a kid many, many decades ago. And I was back there this summer. And if I were doing this in the twilight and not watching, I would just walk right over a cliff because that's what's happened to that path. It's really quite astonishing. What are they finding out about that?
You know, I'm not quite sure what his data says yet.
We'll find out next Saturday.
I haven't spoken to him myself in quite some time. So I'm excited to hear what he says. So he's a former student from Parkside, and now he is at UW-Madison working on his master's degree in geological engineering. And it was really cool because he worked on this project as an undergrad, and he's going to continue into his master's program and be his master's thesis project as well.
That is so super and such a great illustration of how students here at our local universities, particularly at Parkside, have these enormous research opportunities that can carry them through their undergraduate years. And then to bring it forward and continue it into a post-undergraduate study and work on a thesis, that must give you all and the faculty really a great deal of satisfaction to know that.
Yeah, he's one of the favorites. He was one of our outstanding graduates in the spring semester, which was fantastic that he won that award. He's a straight A student, which is remarkable considering he took calculus and physics and all of those difficult classes too. So we're really proud of Ben, and I'm excited to hear his presentation.
Well, Laura Schultz, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning, and we're looking forward to hearing you moderate the session a week from today, and good luck.
Thank you.
And now we're talking with Professor Penny Leiter. Professor Leiter is a faculty member in health, kinesiology, and sports management at UW-Parkside, and she's currently the faculty director of community-based learning. Dr. Leiter, would you tell us what about Session 3, the Exercise Science Professions in the Era of COVID-19? What's going to happen in that session, and why is it of interest to us?
Well, thank you, Lynn. And I will say that I am excited that we are going to be having a panel presentation on, as you said, Exercise Science Professions in the Era of COVID. And we are bringing back three of our alums, which will tell us a little bit about their experiences in exercise science and kinesiology and give some recommendations to those who might be interested in the profession, whether they are current students or potential students from our local community. I'm also real happy to say that they're going to tell us a little bit about how COVID-19 has impacted them in the profession, and they do come in from a variety of different professions and experiences, and then also share maybe what are some tips and some recommendations that they can give others that's related to exercise science professions, in particular related to what's going on right now.
Well, I see they're going to be from all over the country, so it'll be fascinating to hear their reports on what's going on. You have someone who's going to be zooming in from Baltimore, another one from Houston, and somewhat less exotic Elk Grove, Illinois.
Yeah. So Andrea Perugini, she was from our class of 2011, is actually in Baltimore, Maryland. And she brings with us a great experience as well as lots and lots of energy. So I think that it's going to be a treat to hear her tell her story and her perspective. She served for Experience Fitness. She's been a personal trainer. Also, she worked for several years for Les Mills, which is a very well-known company that provides a variety of different exercise programs to all kinds of different health clubs and fitness facilities and workout locations, including even high schools and universities. So she served as a regional manager there and a launch specialist because they have these exercise programs such as boot camp fitness and as well as I'm trying to remember some of the others. Unfortunately, I can't think of them off the top of my head. And then she's also done some work now with a new company called Good Soul Hunting. And so she's taken her expertise really in the fitness and wellness area and has sort of moved it in a little bit of a different direction now, but is all all related to that. We also have Miranda DeMarc, and she's from the class of 2015, and she'll be coming to us from Houston, Texas. Miranda is a general manager and head coach at District 8 CrossFit in Houston. And prior to that, she served as a wellness coordinator as well as a strength and conditioning specialist. She has experience as a wellness manager and a demonstrated history of working in the health and wellness industry. She has served as a coach in nutrition and fitness and wellness. She's a health coach. She has a health coach certification as well as a personal training certification. So she has a lot of strong healthcare services professional experience. And then our third panelist is Marty Zunda, and she actually is a health and fitness coach at TBD Fitness and Yoga in Elk Grove, Illinois, and she graduated in 2018. And I'm really excited to say I actually got to be a professor for each of these three really young, promising professionals. She actually started personal training while she was still in school here, and she was also one of our athletes on our campus. And she began interning at a local facility, ARC Performance in Wheeling, Illinois, and she continued to work there even after graduating. In 2019, she started her own health and fitness coaching company, and that, as you know, is quite a feat, and became a certified health coach as well. During this time, sports were still a large portion and a large part of her life, and so she began competing very competitively, I might add, at Spartan races, because she's actually an excellent runner. And also, she sort of took a new turn a little bit in 2020, really at the beginning of the pandemic. She took a risk and she left the company that she had been working with for a while. And she decided to step out of her comfort zone and seek a facility that she felt aligned more with the views of her holistic wellness. And so again, she joined TBD Fitness in Elk Grove, Illinois, as their trainer, operations manager, as well as the social media coordinator. So she has quite a few years. All of these young women have quite a few years of experience in health and wellness and exercise science. So it's going to be interesting to see and hear a little bit more about what they're doing now and how COVID has impacted them.
And what a treat for you as their former faculty to see how they've developed as young folks in the profession. So that must be very rewarding for you, Penny.
Yes, it is. I must say that I'm very proud of all three of them. And it's always a treat to connect with them and to hear what they're doing. And, you know, you see these students in your class and you work with them, some of them very, very close. Each of them took at least one, if not two or more classes from me. And I had really fond memories of them. In particular, they take a class in their senior year where they have to do some fitness program management. And so I get to see them in action. I get to see them leading a group exercise class. I get to see them planning a program and implementing a program and assessing a program. So it's nice to see them go off and grow up and really surpass some of the expectations that we have for them. And it's also nice to see the diversity of experiences and where they end up.
Now, our listeners are going to learn from them a number of things. They're going to learn about some of the issues that they're facing and how we as individuals can approach working on our fitness during this period. And I suppose that we'll also learn that and maybe inspire some young people and maybe some not so young people to come into UW Parkside's program, because you have a very fine program in this area and in sports management, don't you?
Yes, we do. I was actually involved as a department chair for quite a few years and have seen the department and the programs grow and develop. And now it's under great leadership with Bill Miller, the Professor Bill Miller. And so it is interesting to see and hear a little bit more from them. We are hoping to also share some techniques and some tips and some suggestions that they might have for those individuals who are interested in the profession as to what they might do, as well as current students who are already in the field or already in the program of exercise science, giving them some recommendations on ways to be successful or setting themselves up to be successful in the future.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Thank you so much, Professor Leiter. And now we're going to speak with the Associate Dean of the College of Natural and Health Sciences at UW-Parkside, Professor Brian D. Lewis. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Len. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you're going to be talking to us about what's happening in Session 4, COVID-19 Pandemic from the Front Lines, at this afternoon-long session of scientific seminars, which I'm so excited about, and that we can share with the entire listening public in Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties, and even over into Northeast Lake County, where we spill over our signal a bit, and of course, worldwide on the internet, Brian. So Dr. Lewis, tell us what we're going to learn about in that session.
Well, what we're really going to learn about is from alumni from UW-Parkside. So for the most part, in fact, truly all the speakers we're going to have in this particular session are healthcare providers in a wide variety of different healthcare disciplines. They were all alumni of the university. They were actually all at one point my students here at the university. So what we're doing is we're taking kind of a unique approach by pairing some people together that may have different perspectives. So one of the sessions, we're going to have Dr. Antonio Montemiro, who's a local podiatrist, and his wife, who also happens to be a nurse at Frederick South, Kristen Montemiro, and they're going to give their perspective on what COVID has done for their practice, for their patients, what it's done for their lives to a certain extent. The next session is going to incorporate two different physicians. One of them is an osteopathic physician, Dr. Jacqueline Brandenburg, who practices down in the southwestern part of the United States, and then Dr. Christine Nolan, who is an MD, who practices here in Wisconsin and Waukesha. Dr. Nolan is also in the emergency room setting, so I'm very interested to hear what some of those implications have been for COVID and the patients that she's been treating. And then the last two speakers are Ms. Beth Culberson and Mrs. Kelsey Kajelis-Geese. They are physician assistants that practice in southeastern Wisconsin. So it's all people who are at various levels of frontline work, working with the public, and what COVID has done to, again, to them, to their practices, to their facilities, what it's done for their lives. And I'm just really thrilled to have alumni from our university, our own pre-health students, that are willing to come back and share in this extraordinarily unique time period that we're going through, this tremendous strain, and to hear from people that are on the front lines dealing with it. I'm actually quite honored that they're willing to come back and share their perspective. I think it'll be very enlightening.
Well, yes. I wonder if you could share with us some of the kinds of topics and issues they'll be talking about, Dr. Lewis.
Well, I know a lot of it's going to be just what has had to have changed in terms of how they treat patients. I can tell you that for some of the people, and I'm not going to spill all the beans for everybody here. You're going to have to come to hear some of that stuff specifically. I'll throw the teaser out there. I know how this works. But for some of the healthcare professionals that we're going to be bringing in, they're going to be talking about their perspective on having to move to virtual levels of working with their patients. And I think, to me, that's one of the fascinating parts that people are going to be touching on with this is COVID has been a horrible, horrible virus and has caused massive amounts of devastation. But it has potentially fundamentally changed the way that medicine can be practiced. People are used to going to the physician's office. And they're used to seeing these people and looking across from them with their white coats and their different masks on and things like that. COVID is forcing us to be really good at telemedicine. It's forcing us to figure out what are the right media. How do you actually connect with patients? You have to establish trust with people. Imagine being a brand new patient coming into a facility, and you're not coming into that facility in any way other than virtual. So one of the things I'm really interested to hear the perspectives of from all of these healthcare professionals is how has COVID potentially fundamentally changed the way that medicine can be practiced? And are there any implications for what this means for practicing medicine in the future? Have we really fundamentally altered the way that medicine can be delivered? Are there some benefits that are going to come out of this? Does this decrease some barriers for people who are maybe in rural areas or urban areas who don't have access to quality healthcare? So I'm really interested in particular, and again, I'll tease that much and not much more, I'm really curious to hear the perspective from these healthcare providers on what this might have done from that standpoint.
Well, that's very interesting. My own experience with telehealth has been really quite great, and I've had personal visits too, but the telehealth visits have gone well, and my friends are all saying the same thing. Professor Lewis, tell us once again, remind us, Dean Otu mentioned at the beginning of the program, remind us how our listeners who aren't alumni and aren't going to get a direct email with a link, how do our listeners get a link so that they can attend the seminars next week, Saturday, starting at, I think it's 2 o'clock, right?
Sure. So one of the best ways they can do it is they can just come to the UW Parkside website for the event, and you can come to uwp.edu. And if you type into the search box, the College of Natural Health Sciences alumni event, it'll take you to the webpage where you're going to be able to get some links that are going to allow you to be able to listen and live stream. You can also register from that site.